blessed eternal Father, we come with thanksgiving and appreciation to you, Lord, for this morning, the morning of resurrection, a commemoration of the great deliverance that you wrought in the life of your people. Thank you, Almighty God, for without this, there's none of us here that can stand the devil. And we're grateful to you for this backbone of the devil that you have broken to call us your sons and your daughters. We bless you. Thank you for your cares throughout this past week, your faithfulness to your promises that we so dearly and dear to our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for making provision for the needy, your healing hands upon the sick, journey mercies to everyone that traveled, whether to long or short journeys. We thank you. Thank you for helping us in our activities and for the blessings in your house this past week. We are grateful and thankful to you. Lord, this past week has gone to history again, and the things you have helped us to do as well. And dear Lord, we pray, by this thing you have done, we know you have added testimonies to our lives. And we are trusting you, Lord, for another week that has begun today, because you have graciously spared our life to see it. And that because you have, Lord, your plans and programs laid out for us still. And so we look unto you, Heavenly Father, you that have your plans for our lives. We pray you give us grace, Lord, to surrender ourselves to you. As you direct our lives by your word, Master, may you give us grace to surrender. Lord, give us revelation of your word. All that we need today, you have provided, Almighty God. And it takes faith, Lord, to draw these blessings. Our Father, we pray, gracious Lord, that you will visit us, everyone according to our needs. Lord, and you will glorify your name. Let everything that will be done today be to your glory, and that the blessing will be our portion. As we stand before you, Master, we know no man is worthy to stand except your grace has appeared to him or her. Lord, we ask that your blood will constantly plead our case, that nothing will stand between us and you. Thank you, eternal Father. We know that you will take all the glory in the entire services of today. And your name will be praised forever. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Welcome ourselves to Sunday school again. As we read Revelation chapter 5, where we are trying to bring to conclusion background to the revelation of the seven seals. We read verse 1 to 7. Revelation chapter 5. And then we read Revelation chapter 10 as well. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. One of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Revelation chapter 10, verse 1 to 7. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, the seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when it shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he has declared to his servant, the prophet. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. You can please be seated. Once again, we come ourselves to the house of the Lord as we continue with the background to the revelation of the seven seas, looking at the last sermon preached before the prophet started preaching the revelation of the seven seas. And that is the bridge between the seven church ages and the seven seas. This morning, we want to move forward to look at a few things the prophet said here. And maybe thereafter we know what needs to be done. So let's now this Revelation chapter 10 that we read, two angels are there, as we can understand. The first angel there in Revelation chapter 10 verse 1, which is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, as the prophet told us, and that we find in paragraph 43 of the bridge, 43 to 45. So we read that. Praise be to God. As a way of review, because I think this is the area where we stopped about two Sundays ago. For last Sunday, I was not around. Thank you for your prayer for me when I went to Abeokuta last Sunday. And we realize that in the scriptures, over in Malachi chapter 4, there is to be a one like John and Elijah, to whom the word of God can come to, and is to reveal by the Holy Spirit all the mysteries of God, and restore the faith of the children back to the faith of the apostolic fathers. Restore back all these mysteries that have been proved at through these denominational years. Now, that's what the word said. I am just responsible for what he said. It's written. It's right. That's what it is. Now, we see that this seventh seal book now is the mystery of redemption. The mystery of redemption, it is a book of redemption from God. This seventh sealed book. Now, all the mysteries at this time should be finished at the sending of this messenger. That's Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. Now, here is the angel on earth. That's Revelation chapter 7, Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. Now, here is the angel on earth. And another angel, mighty messenger, come down. See? This angel was an earthly angel. That's Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. Revelation chapter 10, verse 7 is the messenger. that is to reveal the seven seals to the church in Laodicea Church Age. See, this angel was an earthly angel, messenger. But here comes one down from heaven. A rainbow covenant, see? Only Christ it could be. That Revelation chapter 10 verse 1 is Christ. That revealed the seals to Revelation chapter 10 verse 7 messenger. As we have gone through it, we saw how this mystery cloud came into being. And that is when this Revelation chapter 10 verse 1 was fulfilled. That was Christ coming down to the earth when the prophet was picked by the seven angels in the pyramid and was told to go back to Jeff for the time to reveal the revelation of the seven seals has come. And why they dropped the prophet and they went back, they formed that. The prophet said that is the fulfillment of that revelation, chapter 10, verse 1. That is the angel. And is the one that we read in Revelation chapter 5 that took the book from the hand of he that sat on the throne. It's just a mystery. And it is God playing drama. Somewhere I was preaching and I told the people, I said, God is a dramatist. He's a dramatist. And the prophet said that, you know, the scrolls that has been written is being acted out. So God is a dramatist. So he's an artist. So he drew the script. And then the script is being acted out by characters in every age. So you are a character. And I am a character. Every son and daughter of God is a character. Yeah. And so, and that's what we see here taking place. God cannot explain himself to the serpent seed. He does that only to his children. Even when he tries to do that, the serpent seed, there's nothing in the serpent seed to comprehend it. Look at Cain in the beginning. Even after sacrifice, and his countenance dropped, and God went back to him and said, "Why has your countenance dropped? Why are you sad?" And he gave his reasoning and said, "Well, God told him, if you have done what is right, will you not have been accepted? Your brother did what was right. That was why he was accepted. That was another opportunity given to him. That was sufficient. Just like a student who had written an exam, he has failed. And the teacher told the team and said, well, it's because you did not do it like this, you didn't do it like this, you didn't do it like this. Go to others who have done it and then you are given another opportunity and you got offended. That's all I have to do. If you cannot accept it, that's all." And spirit of jealousy rose in him. I went to kill the man that offered the right sacrifice. The prophet said God is obligated to his own. His own. And I believe we are one of his own this morning. Praise be to God. In paragraph 48, the prophet went further to emphasize more on the seven seals. The prophet said, the seven seals hold the mystery of the book. And that is why nobody, people can, they can poke into it, they can try to, you know, think about what it is. I've had preachers, not in the denomination, they have tried to preach about the seven seals. They were just taking scripture, comparing scripture. You know, trying to do all the cool, presenting that to their congregation in the best of their knowledge, thinking they were doing the will of God. The reason is because they have not been able to recognize God's program. Because it is written there that this mystery will not be known only by the seventh angel messenger. And when they don't believe the seventh angel messenger, will they agree with what has been revealed? They will not, because they are not part of it. So as many as are part of it, there will be something in them that will drive them to it. Wherever they are, as long as they are God's seed, God will find them out. Yeah. The seed of God that he has put in them, we create hunger and thirst in them. We make them to be curious about everything. And so that when they have an opportunity to hear a little part of the truth, it does something for them. Though that time they might just come in contact with it, and might take them years before they finally come to it, but somehow they will come to it. Because it is the doing of the Lord. Praise be to God. So, the seven seas hold the mystery of the book until we can see what those seven seas have sealing. We are only presuming them things. Yeah. We are only presuming them things. When the person that sealed it has not opened what is inside, you only presume what is inside this thing. Is this. What is inside this, you only presume. But to say categorically, to be able to say authoritatively that what is inside this thing is this, you must see the content inside. And for you to be believed, then you must be somebody that must have been telling the truth. So in other words, you must have been vindicated. And that is why we are not just following William Branham. We are not just believing him as the messenger. It is because among all preachers, we have been able to see that this man has stayed closely with the scripture, with Brother Paul. And then God has vindicated him in every way. When you are looking for vindication, he does not lack anything. Because God proved him. Part of the vindication is this. That's one of the major vindications. Because the report that was written concerning it was not Brother Abraham that wrote it. So the critics that wrote it, the people that investigated it, and they called Brother Abraham and told him that you will die as a mortal man, but this will remain and will witness that truly God visited this generation. God chose to identify with him as a vindication that he called him. The pillar of fire appear 3 times in the human race. Isn't it? The first Exodus, the second Exodus, and the third Exodus. So this is the third Exodus. The pillar of fire appeared to Moses. Brother Paul saw the pillar of fire that spoke to him, I am Jesus whom you persecute. Because the light shone on him and, push him down. He was struck down by that light. It was that light that he saw that he was able to know that Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus Christ. Because that was the pillar of fire that spoke to him. And he knew by the teachings of Moses that's Jehovah. And when Jesus now spoke to him, I am Jesus whom you persecute, and this is Jehovah that he saw. From there, that was why I began to preach and baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the instruction given by Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. So he is vindicated. We are not forcing anybody to believe what Abraham has said. We are only responsible for saying what he says, and then God is responsible for revealing what the program that he has sent to this end time, the word he allotted to this age to be fulfilled. God is responsible for revealing it to his own children. Praise be to God. Because as I have told you this morning, upon my little message this morning of God hiding in simplicity, we are sure to miss the thing unless it is absolutely, genuinely revealed by the Holy Spirit and vindicated the same. Amen. If the prophet rises and tells you that this is just that, and God doesn't vindicate the same, forget it. That William Branham is speaking now. If a prophet rises and says, God said this, and God does not come behind that man to vindicate it, to confirm, to prove, to support, to provide evidence to convince the hearers that what this man is saying comes from me. The prophet said the man is just speaking. Like the Yoruba will say, Unpalaleno. He's just wasting his saliva, wasting his efforts. It's not God that sent him. But when God sends him, he vindicates him. Just like he sent Moses, to go and tell the children of Israel, to go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go, that they may serve me. Because it was God that sent Moses. He gave him signs. When he got before Pharaoh, and he told Pharaoh, Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I will believe him? You are looking for supernatural manifestation, vindication that he sent me. Then, because that's what God told Moses to do. And he dropped down his staff. He became a snake. Pharaoh looked at him and said, chief magic. James Jambrin, come out here. Let me ask you a question before we continue. Who told us that those two magicians that withstood Moses were James and Jambres? Don't answer any chorus. If you know, raise your hand. Who told us that the names of those two magicians that withstood Moses in Exodus, when Moses threw down the staff and he became a snake, and Pharaoh called those two other magicians and said, James and Jambres, come out. Who told us that they were James and Jambres? Because in Genesis, their names were not written there. Do you know it? Who am I going to call here? Okay. You know it. Okay. Let me see your hand again. I will call somebody. Okay, tell us. Yeah. You that you are looking at the bag. Yes. No. She's. Eh? Okay. You see why questions are necessary? You see why questions are necessary? So that if I have assumed, and then we went ahead. God bless you, sister. Yeah, you tried. All right. This is Sunday school. It's Sunday school. It's teacher to students. So, and the teacher can ask questions to seek and understand, to at least see whether the student understands what is being taught. Let me see hands up again. You are reducing the hand because somebody said, so your confidence has been eroded. Oh, that means that was the answer you had before. Well, I've called a sister. I'm going to call a brother. You are another timer. We don't call you. Oh yeah, tell us. But I'm fine. Eh? Sit down. Thank you. You see now? No more hands here. All right, grandma. No, is the one that hold grammar? Yes. You are correct. But somebody says that in the Bible. You are correct to say Bibeli because we find it in the Bible. But somebody, inspiration of God brought it to somebody to say it in the Bible. No, your chance is gone. You can't raise your hand any longer. Okay, I've called a sister. Let me call another brother. Brother, Baba Pekin. Yes. Brother Paul. Apostle Paul. Give us the scripture. That is in Timothy. As James and Jambres withstood Moses. Now, as James and Jambres withstood Moses, that is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. Let's read from verse 5, so that you will understand. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Go ahead. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as James and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. James and Jambres, They were the two magicians that Pharaoh called to throw their staffs down in Genesis. Praise be to God. So because God wanted to vindicate Moses, because God sent Moses, he had to stand solidly behind Moses, because Moses will face challenges. Moses did not know. Moses thought things would just go smoothly. He would just get to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go. The God of the Hebrews send my people and send me to tell you to let my people go." Moses thought he would. Though God told him that we had in his eye, he will not let you go. But Moses did not know the extent of the stubbornness of that of Pharaoh. And so, when he got there, Moses, when Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord?" I said, "Who is the Lord that I should let the Israelite go? What are you telling me? I don't know the Lord." It's okay, you don't know the Lord. Oh, yeah. And then, cheap magic. James and Jambri come here. And then they also threw their own staffs. And they became snakes. There, for you to see that it was God. It was not Moses that commanded his staff that turned to snake, that his staff should go and strike the first staff that turned to snake, James staff that turned to snake, Jambres staff that turned to snake. They have turned to snake, just like Moses' staff also turned to snake. That was impersonation. But the original came from God. So when God moves, the devil moves also. So when God did that, James and Jambres did their own. It was not Moses that told the snake to swallow those two snakes. It was God that was behind Moses, vindicating Moses. Moses himself wouldn't know what to do at that instance. But God that sent him was by him. After all God told him to do was to throw it away, to throw down his staff. Nothing more to be done. And then the next is to pick it again. But that's what God told him. Pick the staff. But God was there. The moment their staff turned to snake, Moses' snake moved closer to them. Pick this one and swallow it. Pick this one and swallow it. Then, from that moment, the instinct on Moses went to pick his snake by the tail and he turned to staff. The prophet said, "All the powers of Egypt now in the hand of Moses." Now, the prophet went further to tell us that the devil cannot heal. That it is only God that can heal. The prophet established that from that point. And then further, the prophet said they could not call back their staff. They didn't have the power to call. Because if they had the power, they could have said, my staff in Moses in your hand, come out my staff. But that was in the hand of the Almighty. They could not retrieve it any longer. So they caused, the prophet said, the devil can afflict, but he cannot take away the affliction. It's only God. That's why Jesus Christ is the only deliverer. He's the only healer there is. He's the only savior there is. Amen. When God has Moses to turn water into blood, Moses did that. Do you know the magicians in Egypt also did the same thing? But they could not change the water that they turned into blood back to clean water again. They were now depending upon Moses. The prophet said, the devil can bring affliction. He can't take it away. Because he does not have healing power. Healing power is the creation. And God is the only creator. The devil is not a creator. That's why he can't bring healing. Because healing relates to creation. So, God is the only one that heals. They can afflict, they can do this. The prophet said people can go to Babalawo and they can get healing. The prophet said it's not the Babalawo that heals them. He said the people believe that they are contacting God through Babalawo. It's not the man that they have confidence in. They believe they are going to touch God through that man. And the prophet said, that's how healing comes. It's by faith. The people have faith in that man that when they go to that man, he will help them to contact God. And by that, they get their healing.
So may the Lord be our help.
So God vindicated his prophet.
And
that gives confidence
to the believer.
That takes away fear and doubt and unbelief, skepticism from the hand of the believer and from the heart of the believer. That brings the believer to settlement, to rest, that this is indeed God walking through this man.
And I want to tell you, if you are here, you are doubting whether the message of Malachi 4 is true, go and study the vindications around Brother Abraham
and compare it with any minister on the land today. Vindications that are scriptural, promise in the Bible.
The Bible says, if a man comes up and he says that, just like we have just read, that is the part we are talking about. If a man says, God says this, God says this, like in the sermon, the voice of the sign. I think there are about two or three series. The voice of the sign. The prophet told us that when a man comes up with begins to do signs and wonders, you begin to see supernatural phenomena taking place. The prophet would say, watch the preaching that follows.
Are you with me? That is how I left redeemed.
Hello? That is why I left the Redeemed Christian Church of God.
Yes.
Of course, signs and wonders take place there. You cannot deny it. I was there. But the day he came to the pulpit, one of the Friday or nights, I took a young convert there that day. My wife knows the young convert. I think she and her husband, they are now in this Ologun Ero. You know, they have big church here. And meanwhile, I've been talking to her about the message of the hour, the true way to be baptized, the covering of hair, and all those, foundational things. So we went to the campground together. I was still in the denomination, but believing the message. And that what I was preaching there, thinking I could do a little help. But look, you cannot help denomination. No. You cannot, because they are dead. It's only the individual that can come out. For you to say you are going to combat denomination, you will labor. You will never get anything from it. If it's the denomination that you're going to combat, but if you go after an individual there, if it's a seed of God, will come out. I took her there, so went to the campground. So that night, we were all praying, ready, and Pastor Dube came to the platform. Of course, this is what I'm saying, is publicly known. And he said, well, that that I know that you sisters, you know more than me, and that you know that the signs and wonders that take place there, they are done by angels. And the Bible says that you sisters should cover your hair, you cover your hair, or whichever way you put it, their own interpretation. And because of the angels. Cover your hair because of the angels. And because of that, cover your hair. Merciful God. Everybody, their scarf, their bonnet, their hat, we. They were covering their hair. They were taking their scarf. They were tying. I watched that very closely. The sister that I took there, I said, come to the scripture. I could not bear it. I was still in that congregation. I said, look at the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I took her there, 11, I took her there. I said, we have talked this before. I said, look at what is the covering? He said, hair. I said, it's up to you. She didn't use scarf. She left her hair. And that was my last time there. Signs and wonders take place. But what about standing by the word? Which is the most important thing? Matthew chapter 7 tells us, he said, that day they shall come unto me and I will say, Lord, have you not done this in your name? Have we not done this in your name? Perform miracles and signs and wonders, raise the dead and do all sorts of mighty works in your name. And Jesus said, I will say unto them on that day, I know you not, ye workers of iniquity. The prophet said, what is iniquity? You know what is right and you will not do it. In the Bible, it is written, hair is the covering for women, not scarf. The man didn't have any vindications. The voice that followed, the sound that followed is unscriptural. That's how I reverse. From that moment, I stopped going to that place. Even though I have not left the denominations until the last straw that hit the camel's back. Praise be to God. We are talking about the vindication of the man. So, he's the one that says, if a man says anything, and God does not come behind it to confirm it, to vindicate it, he said, forget about the man. He brings himself before the picture. That what I am saying, if God hasn't vindicated it, and you have the vindication surrounding us, so many of them, we listen to a tape on Friday, you can see things that God has done. It will take somebody that is a serpent seed to steal that brother Abraham. Let's bow our heads.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning for your fatherly cares upon us, your protection, your daily provisions, generally your cares. Lord, you ordered us to your house this morning again because you have made it possible for us to see the beginning of another week. We thank you for the week that ended. And the blessings, our cares, our protection, our provisions for our needs. Lord Jesus, we cannot thank you enough for the storehouse. You told your servant to store this message for the bride. We have need of it. Today, the message is available. Lord, in books, it's in our phones, it's in our iPads, it's in our several of those electronic gadgets that are available. Thank you for men that you have raised up to re-echo this same message again unto your people. Father, we thank you. You are perfect in your ways. Your program, no devil can obstruct. It has gone forth again this morning. May it find its resting place in our hearts. May the blessings be permanent. Bless your servant and replenish him for the virtue that has left him. Thank you, Father. As we humbly present the entire services of the day to your hands, we pray, O God, that each of them will attract your attention to come and minister to each and every one of us as our needs might be. Thank you, Father. Be with our daddy that has gone to Bakatari. We remember Oyedepo in Sapele. We pray, O God, that you will be with him. I continue to use them as a channel to your people. God bless you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.